America and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brian Perkins. Joining me as always is Teresa Sorensen-Sammons and Chris Loji. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello. Yeah.
It is June 26, 2021, last show for the month of June. It is also hot as, well, whatever your particular religious name for the underworld is, it is hot as that. Hell, Hades, Tartarus, Bardo, whatever you want to call it, it's hot like that. And when it's not hot, it's muggy, and when it's not muggy, it's rainy. Actually, before we start, how has, like, the weather been in you guys' parts of the world?
Well, we were in a drought.
Yeah.
Now it's like alternating between tornado and storms and whatever, and we're in a flash flood alert, but I think the tornado watch for today is over.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who lives in the Northwest said he was basically surrounded by tornado warnings for on like three sides. So yeah, it's like that. You know, it's like that climate change thing that's totally not happening.
Yeah, that's why it's 100 plus degrees over on the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't get us wrong, you know, especially in Washington, you know, it's supposed to be pretty rainy this time of year. Because it's Seattle and it always rains over there. But, you know, hot rain with humidity, now that's a different story altogether. Part of me, my heart bleeds for them, and the other part of me is like, deal with it, you bunch of pussies. Because that's basically what we get every friggin' year. But we also have other issues that are coming from it, like, oh, I don't know, wildfires.
Oh, God. Again?
It's, I mean, we're talking about California here, so, like, that's just an annual thing. Summer comes, shit burns to the ground. That's just kind of how California rolls. Yeah, so stuff that happened this week. Derek Chauvin finally got sentenced. We'll tell you what his sentence was. A certain somebody has lost their law license. Well, suspended, to be more specific. And it's exactly for the reason you think it was. An NFL player made history. A general basically told Matt Gaetz to go screw himself. And, oh, yeah. You know that antivirus program that you've probably had loaded onto your hard drive for some various version over the last, I don't know, 15 years? Yeah, the guy who created that died in a cell in Spain this week.
Yeah,
we're gonna get into that guy because he is a he is a character and not in a good way. And we also have some science news, including a recent discovery out of China that is absolutely going to sort of kind of bring a sea change to the story of how humans evolved into what we know of as Homo sapien today. And, of course, we got a bunch of movie news, including the official trailer for Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, which looks awesome. And we got all that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. So, with that, let us get started, as we always do on the show, with what we've been up to. And, Teresa, we'll start with you. Other than dealing with that drought thing, what have you guys been doing over there?
Well, we got a Series X yesterday.
Oh.
And, yeah. And set that up and gave it a quick little workout. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, late game Kingdom Two Crowns. And
yeah.
This is where I'm going with this, you guys. No AAA game here.
No, I know your chaos, Teresa. So.
Oh, yeah. It didn't even blink. Like nothing. We had tons of greed all over. We had lots of calculations going on because of all of the coins that were being tossed here and there. Not even a blink. It just handled it like a complete champ. It handled it like my $1,400 gaming computer out in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried that also. It looks great. And then I played a bunch of PSO2 New Genesis all week, but then again last night, so I could see how that went. And it loaded in like a blink, and I'm like, holy shit! I mean, I knew it would be fast, but it was fast, fast. So I played that, and it looked good. I could really tell a lot more detailing, especially in the water effects in the game. So all around, and I don't even know if this is possible, but it even sounded better. I
Really?
think it's just, yeah, I think that might just be me. I don't know. I don't know. So everything's working great for that, and then we use it quite a bit in our bedroom, on the TV, for streaming. So I got all logged in with my big long list of shit that I have subscriptions for. So I got the Netflix login all set up. I got Hulu set up. I got HBO Max. I got the Plex thing. I got Disney Plus all set up. And Amazon Prime Video, and then also Apple TV stuff, because there's stuff that I bought there like way, way back. And it's great, that there's apps for it, so I could use it without having to have stupid Apple TV device. I could still watch season two of the Smurfs, which is like the most watched thing that I have. Right. So I messed around with that a good bit. I anticipate playing it a lot more tonight, but I actually went out today and walked around like a normal person, and I do feel a lot better than I did last week. I know last week I probably said 7 to 10 days before I'm back to usual. Bullshit. No, I mean, today I believe it, but I think it's been about 10 days now. I don't know. So and I drove, which was wonderful. Because I hadn't driven since beforehand. And man, that kills me. I mean, I drive, that's what I do. So it was good to drive mine and my kids' happy ass up to Target and buy a loaf of bread and pizza rolls and a pair of leggings, because he's going to start his very first job tomorrow, even though, yes, he's underage. But it's a cash job, and he's going to be working as a mascot inside of one of the big suits, walking around at basically like a craft fair, basically. If
Well, this
it
is a good
doesn't
time to
rain.
do that too. As it's getting really fucking hot out.
It's so goddamn muggy here. It's not quite Kentucky level, but it's stupid close. It's stupid close. We were out, and by 1:15, we're like, oh, screw this shit. We're going home. We can't deal anymore. So we got some groceries and grabbed some Arby's from the drive-thru and went home. But we started season one of Dragon Ball Z. And we're watching the dub, of course, with the subs, because, they mention stuff in the subs that just isn't even part of American Dragon Ball. Like they asked about lunch and they wondered where Tenshinhan Han was, or Tien. So I would have completely missed that, and I was totally wondering, well, what the hell happened to lunch? Because they never talked about it. So we're watching that, and the thing with Goku happened, and the thing with Piccolo happened, and things are happening very quickly in the first like six episodes. So and I do remember Serpent Way, or I can't remember what they called it. Is it Serpentine Way or Snake Way? I don't remember.
I think
But I
it's
do remember
Snake's
that.
Way.
Cuz I'm sitting there watching it with the subs and laughing, and now I'm kind of like, man, the voice acting isn't as good as I remembered. So,
Is
I don't
this
know.
Kai or DBZ original?
It's DBZ original.
Yeah, which means it's got all the filler.
It's got all the filler. I know, and I told Jacob, I'm like, we should watch Kai, and he's like, no, well, let's watch DBZ, and I'm like, oh God.
Watch it the way that they originally watched it when
Well,
it
you
was
watch
being.
it the regular, and then you go back and watch it in Kai, and you're like, holy shit.
I know, and I watched a lot of the regular, on Adult Swim. So, although
Where you get half an arc in, and then it's like, oh, we gotta start over again, because we don't have enough episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Where it's like, hi, we finished this arc. All right, back to the beginning.
Yep. Yeah. It's kind of bananas, but, you know, what it is what it is. We'll get through it in, like, maybe by this time next year. But I ended up finding a new singing artist that I like. Her last name, and I may not pronounce it correctly, is her stage name, and it's Upsall, and mm-hmm. she just capitalizes it for whatever reason. Apparently, she's the daughter of what do they call it? A gig musician or something? Session musician, something like that. Anyway, I like her voice. I like her songs. So I've been listening to her and actually watching her videos on YouTube. So that's kind of cool to find something that I like, because I haven't been listening to music so much. Because when I say, hey, Google, play WKQX, it plays something completely stupid now. And it doesn't play what used to be Q101, which was the premier alternative station here in Chicagoland from like the mid-90s on. And now it just plays something stupid. So, and I'm not playing it through the browser or anything. So I kind of miss my music. I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. I'm going to have to do something about it. I could like work in the living room and turn on the actual stereo and not use up my bandwidth, which is probably a good idea because I already got the alert from Comcast for this month. So guess who's not downloading more stuff onto the Xbox until July 1? Yeah, that'd be me. Yeah, because I don't know what happens once I go over the data cap. I think that they probably charge me extra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I was listening to her some, and as I said, I played PSO2 New Genesis quite a bit. I was playing, like, all week. Ridiculous amounts. Oh, and I also played Civ 6, but it was New Genesis. Let's not lie here.
Yeah,
but it's good. I really enjoy it. They brought out a few more missions, and there's there's some new mobs out there that I'll be taking a look at soon. But I keep missing them, and Pat keeps finding them, and he keeps sending me messages, and I'm already in bed. So, or asleep. So I keep kind of missing it somehow, but you know, that'll fix itself with time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been doing. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, you, Chris. What about you?
The gamuts this week with weather, where it's raining early in the week. Mm-hmm. Now it's just hot as hell. I think the high today was like 85, but the what it felt like was like 88. Which was fun. Luckily, we got some clouds rolling in today to help dissipate that a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's not really all that beneficial either way. But yeah, been dealing with some weird stuff. I forget what day it was, but had weird power outages happen for I don't know what reason. It was storm stuff or whatever, but I woke up like 4:30 to a room that's completely dark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the usual. I usually have TV on with something playing. So it's that kind of fun of being groggy because it's 4:30 in the morning and being like, what the fuck is going on? Why does this room not look like it's supposed to?
Mm-hmm.
And figuring out, okay, the power went out at some point. And I'm power's back at this point, so I get to turn something on. I think I put Netflix and Arrested Development on, just put on episode one, let it go. I wake up a few hours later and power's back off. And I'm just annoyed. Mm-hmm. It's about 6:30. And so I go look at my phone because I was supposed to be charging. I was at 50% when I went to bed, and it's only at 56%.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because the computer's off. That's what I have hooked up to charge. So I was like, all right, what the fuck is going on? I try and look on Twitter, see if there's anything about power outages in Ohio or whatever, and nothing. Just people complaining like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. So that's helpful.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, I'm too annoyed to go back to sleep right now. So I was just hanging out playing Switch, waiting to see what was going on. It comes back on like 45 minutes later. Mm. So then I, you know, turn Arrested Development back on, started over again.
Mm.
And went back to bed for a couple more hours. Yeah, so that was a fun whole morning of ways to just annoy my half asleep self.
Yeah.
But then when Seems I got kind of home crap. After work, I started checking on everything. Because I had to leave early in the morning. I turned on my PS5, and that seemed to have corrupted the OS for some reason. At some point, I don't know what was going on, but I had to reinstall the OS with an update, which wasn't too bad, except I downloaded the wrong file the first time.
Oh.
So the whole being like, oh, what the fuck is this? And I was like, oh, I clicked the wrong thing.
Mm.
Redownload that, get it on my thumb drive, put it back in, get it all started. Didn't take too long once I got it reset, essentially just having the whole problem of having to redownload all the stuff that was on the internal drive. So that was finished up, I think, last night. So not too bad. But yeah, got... things are good now. I think the only things I lost were things that were on the internal drive, so some of my capture stuff, that kind of stuff.
So you had to initialize the thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had to do that once or twice. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass, I know.
Yeah, though it's easier to log in on that thing now, because with the PS5, you can just pull up the app,
mm-hmm.
The PlayStation app, and you're sitting there for logging in. It just gives you a QR code, and it grabs that, and it's like, yep, you're good.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I'm at the single, like, okay, wait, where's the fucking password? Let me spend 10 minutes here typing it in, make sure I don't mistype something, that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
No, got back in. Took a little bit to get my library all ready because I have over 1,200 items to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, we got to look through all of this shit. That's the only downside of having a lot of shit on here. But got it back up and running. My external drive's fine, so all my PS4 games are ready to go, so I could play that stuff while I was waiting, but the rest of it was just kind of a time sink,
mm-hmm.
essentially. But what I did get to play some more of Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart.
Mm.
Got the Platinum on that.
All right. Which
didn't really require too much more after I was finished. With the game, I basically used a guide to find these Krager Bears, which mm-hmm. is a sort of hidden collectible that the game doesn't put on the maps like it does everything else. There's one on each of the planets, on most of the planets, I think, 9 total. And they're usually within a few minutes of where you land on the planet. So it's not
mm-hmm.
too much of an issue. I found 2 of them coincidentally. So just the process of loading into the next planet and all that and looking was pretty quick. It's maybe like 15, 20 minutes total, just getting all that. I think the last ones I had were to use the shield weapon to essentially absorb shots from enemies and fire them back and kill 10 enemies that way.
Neat.
Which the annoying thing is that it has to be fully maxed out to get that ability, level 5. And by the point that you probably do that, you are not going to face too many enemies that are shooting stuff that shield can absorb. So you basically have to do it on a second run, most likely. And when I went to start up a challenge mode run, it was basically... So the way that works, instead of ammo, it has like a percentage battery
mm-hmm.
to it. And as you take shots, that goes down. And basically, I decided to try a harder difficulty. So basically, it took like 3 hits and that thing was running out of battery.
Huh.
So I basically had to... So when you get all of the gold bolts, you unlock all the customization stuff. And at the The last three things are unlimited health, unlimited ammo, and unlimited... I forget what the other one is. There's something else. So I basically turned the difficulty down so it wasn't just destroying the shield right away.
Mm-hmm.
And also put it on unlimited ammo.
Yeah.
I just did that so I could just... Because all the enemies you're facing at the beginning have the sword of shots that you can reflect.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing that, and I eventually did that, and then just turned all the difficulty stuff back. And that was the platinum. Not too hard. Especially for that series where a lot of its games are basically like, okay, you beat the game, now you gotta do it again in challenge mode. So two playthroughs. If not having more stuff like... You know, getting all the gold bolts, getting all the skill points, which are not necessarily easy to find without a guide, because that's just how those games were designed. Whereas this one sort of just puts all the gold bolts on the map, at least if you're nearby, but also the game help stuff that they have for PS Plus members does mm-hmm. a good job of letting you know, like, hey, this is how you get this gold bolt if you're not figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of nice little tips like that that were pretty useful. Other than when it was like, oh, you will get access to this, be able to get this gold bolt after this story mission. It doesn't really tell you that stuff.
Hmm.
So I had to look a couple of things like, oh, that's the reason I can't get to this area is because it's a story thing. So that's really the only downside there. But love that game. Definitely going to play some more of it with challenge mode now that I can get some of the Omega weapons, which... upgrades their ability to level up to 10.
Mm-hmm.
They do give you... I think the other thing trophy I had was bio weapons, which you can't get on the first run. Because basically when you get to Ms. Zircon, who's the shopkeep, she has another weapon for you if you haven't bought the Rhino and all that. It's the Bouncer, which is one of the weapons from... maybe the first game?
Yeah.
I guess the one where as it upgrades, it's like a grenade that drops other grenades.
Yeah.
Kind of thing that seek to enemies.
Yeah, I think that one's been around since at least, if not the first one, it's definitely been around since the second one.
Yeah, which is a pretty cool weapon
mm-hmm.
For clearing out large groups, but I don't have to worry about trophy stuff, so I can just enjoy it. That'll make that more fun. Also some other stuff I've been playing. There's Round Guard, which has got an update to add a new character.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was one of the games that was affected by my PS5 crapping out. so I had to start over with another new save, but I hadn't really done too much with it. But they have added some new character stuff to that, because you have, for those who don't know, it's basically if Peggle was a roguelite.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a little bit of an RPG aspect to it as you're taking on these enemies are sort of the purple pegs
mm-hmm.
that hang out. And they will hit you back. You definitely want to have your little dude that you're dropping or shooting around land on the like bouncy pad at the bottom, because then they don't take health damage. Because if they land, there's spikes on there, so if they went in there, you lose like 10 health or something like that. Of course, there's like little potions around, so you hit that to recover some health, but you also get, you know, perks and stuff that'll let you get some of that back for other ways. So it's a pretty cool game. Well worth checking out if you're into Peggle at all. It does some really fun ways of turning that around, and it has a lot of the roguelite trappings. As you're trying to beat it with each of the characters, and it has ways of rewarding you for keep playing it as they throw in more perks and such at you. So that game's a lot of fun. Definitely having fun playing some more of it. The Steam sale's live. I have not really checked out too much, but I saw Clicker Heroes 2 was on sale for half off. I think it launched originally at $30, but he's since, while it's still in early access, dropped it to like $20 MSRP, and then it's on sale right now for $10. So I was like, I'll jump into this, see what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty fun. It's quite a bit of a different type of game. It's still clicker, all that kind of stuff, but the name comes from the fact that, like, when you the way these clickers work is you click on manually for a while, and then you get enough money or whatever to mm-hmm. buy things to automatically click for you and do damage on their own. And those were heroes that you were buying. So you got buying a collection of heroes that would up your damage, that kind of stuff, as you try and go into higher levels, and then you eventually run into a stalemate and restart with added XP that you can spend on upgrading your stats and all that kind of stuff. Here, there's not really multiple heroes. You got one hero that's going.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're buying is equipment for that hero, sort of filling out its, equipment sheet, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get in further levels and higher amounts of money, you're buying new equipment to replace that stuff. So you might get a wooden sword, and then, a while later, you'll get a bronze sword, mm-hmm. to silver and that kind of stuff. So far I haven't had to reset yet. I don't know if that's an actual mechanic in it yet, but I haven't been playing it too much, so that hasn't come up yet, where I've been like a stalemate. But as you're playing, you level up, then you have mm-hmm. like a skill tree, and like a Path of Exile style skill tree, where it just has a shitload of things on it to go in a variety of ways. Because initially, I think you pick your first one. It's like what sort of, limited time buffs you can get. It's a set of four for each of the directions. And that actually makes the automation stuff actually usable. Because in the original game, it was just kind of like, oh, you can click for me. And it's like, but if you let it sit for 60 seconds, then it does... you get damage bonuses and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, why do I want to click? Have it auto-click for me for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And here they've kind of built that into it so that there's actual reasons why you'd want it to do things for you. So things like, and you get these stones, which are sort of things like every 4 seconds. Then you have abilities that you can say, like, hey, use this every four seconds, like, have it click, or have it use this ability that does 5 clicks at once, or all this kind of stuff. And as you're upgrading, so there's 2 trees. There's your character ability tree, and there's one for the automation stuff. So that one, you're kind of adding more, like stones for time, for how often it's doing the thing you're asking it to.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you go in other directions, you'll add more things it can do
mm-hmm.
For that. So there's a lot of... need a little stuff there, so I'll have it like use these abilities, because they're not in clicker heroes. They only let you use the one that upgrades your damage like a certain amount of time per run before you had to reset to keep getting it, be able to use it. It's weird. There's a lot of like limited stuff for that per run, and here it seems more like the abilities are more like, like in an RPG where you're meant to use them constantly, rather than it's like, that one for upgrading your damage by 10% permanently, or not permanently, but for that run, it would go into cooldown for like 6 hours. So I was like, okay, I'll use that for a few times a day if you're paying that much attention to it. And here it seems to be, I think the longest one I have is a few minutes, so it's not even that punishment for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're clicking on the screen to, do extra damage to what your character is doing naturally. Or finding little things you can click on to get you extra money or gems or whatever, all this other stuff. And since it's a paid game, there's no, paid currency to it. Nothing you can put into the game to, level up faster or anything like that. So that's pretty nice. You just get your normal stuff, and it's still early access, so you're still fine-tuning it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Though I think at this point, they say like it'll be in early access for like 2 years, and that was 2018. So still got a ways to go. I think the most recent update they put out here, let's see, 0.18.2. So still,
yeah,
not exactly close to 1.0 from the way that's worded, but still working on it, making it cool. But it's got a lot of stuff the original has and kind of changes it since it's not free to play, not, you know, looking for you to put some money into it. So that's pretty neat. Also been playing some PictoQuest. This game I beat on the Switch is an easy Picross game. Get it on Steam in some bundle on Fanatical. So I was just like, I'll play through this because it's still easy, but it's playing it with a mouse and keyboard's just weird. It's like your left mouse click is like filling a thing. Right click is X. But when you're sort of dragging your cursor to fill up rows and such, it only lets you fill up the row or the column you're trying to do. You can't just like drag it around and fill out the things that you know that you can do. So you have to like let go and then start working on a new column or row. It's like weird little things like that, but working my way through it because it seems like it should be a pretty easy achievement list. Yeah, because I got most of them already. I just need to... They have some weird stuff like... I lose 10 times. Just like, this game's so fucking easy. It's going to be just me starting puzzles that have a fight in it and just letting it kill me because I can't intentionally lose. At least just from playing. It's not that hard for anybody that's halfway decent at those types of games, but it's just a cheap little brain dead game for me. So
yeah.
That's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
Yeah. Well, I finished the game I had been playing, the mystery game, for review, and now that the embargo is over, I can tell you what it is. It was This Guy is Six. And my review is now up on Smashpad with some assistance from DanRev, who helped me get some screenshots for it because there weren't a lot of screenshots available for it to online that we could use at the time. But I've been playing, you know, the Disgaea series for a long time, and I'll be frank, as far as you know, Disgaea games goes, this one was, I feel, one of the middling ones. The problem was, well, the problem was twofold. The first one was that the series decided to upgrade from 2D sprites to fully three-dimensional character models. And the sad truth is that it loses something in the transition.
Is this the one that has kind of chibi-ish character models?
Yeah, that's the ones. And
those are two different kinds of anime styles, the original Disgaea games and GB.
Yeah, and it definitely loses something in the transition. Because the thing was about the sprite-based characters, at least, is that even though they had, you know, limited animation, they were able to emote better. And, you know, they actually felt like they had life and stuff to them. Weirdly enough, the fully three-dimensional ones actually seem very wooden and mannequin-like. You know, they don't really emote a lot at all. Which is a shame because the actual dialogue is really funny. As is usual with this series, it's legitimately very funny. Unfortunately, story-wise, it's also not the best either. Because of the way that the story sort of tells itself. The whole sort of like basis for the story is that you're playing as this zombie kid named Zed. And if you know anything about the Disgaea franchise, is that the zombies are one of the sort of lower tier monster classes that exist in the game. They're basically used for mooks and cannon fodder, you know. But he has gotten to the point now where he's super duper strong, and the reason is because he's managed to get this, managed to acquire the spell called Super Reincarnation that lets him reincarnate whenever So basically the whole thing is he's trying to kill this thing called the God of Destruction, which supposedly killed his little sister. But the thing is, it's the God of Destruction. It's nigh indestructible. So every time he tries to fight it, it kills him very quickly. But because he has super reincarnation, he can reincarnate back into the next universe that the God of Destruction shows up in. And by the time the game has started, he's basically done this like 30,000 times. But the problem is that sort of, you know, that sort of gimmick of him going to a new universe, you know, going to fight the God of Destruction, dying, and then reincarnating in the next one, that carries out basically through the whole game, which means that you basically keep going through these different new universes and you don't really stick around long enough to really explore any of them or, you know, learn, you know, what they're really about before, you know, the God of Destruction shows up and you gotta die and reincarnate and go to the next universe. There are parts later in the game where you end up going back to some of these universes because there's like a MacGuffin or something like plot-wise that makes, you know, other members of your party say, yeah, we got to go back to my universe and do this thing. But that's about it. And, you know, it sucks because the other party members are themselves pretty interesting. Like one of the first party members you get is a guy who's like he's the king of the human world, but he's also like super greedy and super rich. And he kind of looks like, you know, the king that you get on like a suit of playing cards. He basically looks like the king of diamonds, basically. There's also a princess who you end up finding in the musical world who likes singing her lines a lot. There's this one character named Pioro, who's basically the head of a Super Sentai squad in the TV universe. And, like, they lampshade that whole thing that it's a TV universe and they all live and die by ratings. And see, that's a neat... It's like, yeah, why couldn't the whole game take place in that universe? You could make a whole great plot based on it, but no, you gotta fight the God of Destruction, then you gotta go to the next universe, which is the magical... university universe a la Harry Potter, and it just cycles like that, and you never get to stick around long enough to actually like care about any of these places. But so since I finished that, I decided to finally start seriously playing Genshin Impact, which is a game I've tried to get started playing a few times before, but every time I did, I either, you know, it either like got corrupted as I was loading it and I had to delete it, or, you know, I got it downloaded and then I played it and I couldn't actually get to actually play it because there was like a networking error. Or one time it happened, I downloaded it and it ended up screwing up my entire system and I had to initialize the thing. Yeah, I finally now get a chance to actually play it, like, for real serious, and yeah, I totally get why this game is so popular. It is a lot of fun. It's very obvious how much inspiration they take from Breath of the Wild, though. Like, seriously. So much of, you know, like, obviously there's, like, the environmental design, which has that same sort of painterly look to it that Breath of the Wild has, but also like the environmental damage that works with, like, you know, setting stuff on fire and it'll like set the surrounding grass on fire and stuff like that. It even looks similar. There's also the climbing mechanics, which use the, you know, the energy mechanic that you use from Breath of the Wild. There's also a gliding mechanic, which again, Breath of the Wild, very. But they take it and then they combine it with this very satisfying action RPG gameplay. That's very heavily like Bougie inspired, which I love. And also just pretty interesting. I mean, it's the story itself is fairly cliche, you know, JRPG fare, but it's interesting, cliche JRPG fare. So, you know, it works. Mostly it's the character designs that are probably, other than everything else, the most appealing, because they got some great character designers for this game. Especially your first party, like your first group of individuals you get in your group. It's an interesting group of people. Yeah, the game really is just, it really is genuinely a lot of fun. I will say, though, the one thing I'm having trouble is getting myself up to, like, Adventurer Rank 10 so I can go on to the next major plot point, because, and for the record, this is actually not, obviously not something that's unique to this game. Pretty much all MMORPGs do this to some extent. And people have told me, it's like, yeah, it's obviously it's a free-to-play online game, but the thing is I've been told that you really won't start seeing, like, any of those, you know, those gacha mechanic walls until you're, like, a good 40, 50 hours into it. And so far, yeah, it's like, it's one of those things where you're just like, wow, I can't believe this game is free, because this is absolutely something that you could charge money for, and it would probably sell extremely well. It's a genuinely good game. Honestly, far better than it has any right to be. But yeah, it's good. Okay. Let's see. Other than that, watching anime. On top of, I'm still watching Nadia, Secret of Blue Water, which is still good. I also started watching Heavy Metal Elgin, which is another, like, old-school 80s anime that never really got its way over here. It's a Yoshiyuki Tomino joint, the guy behind the Gundam series, so you kind of know what you're going to be getting into. There's giant robots, and people are going to be fighting over them for some reason. What's unique, though, is that this was the anime that Mamoru Nagano actually got work on, and what makes his work unique is that as a mecha designer, he was like the first guy to create giant mechs where instead of like having like that blocky robot form like, you know, the Gundams traditionally have, he came up with the idea of taking the robots and sort of making them look like like armor over exoskeletons, so they look more, not necessarily organic, but they look more like armored suits than just blocky machines. And when it came, when the anime came out, this was, it was a pretty big deal because it basically changed how people viewed giant robots and how they could be designed. And what's funny is that Mamoru Nagano actually really hated the way that this anime ended up turning out, and like had such a bad relationship with working with Yoshiyuki Tomino, that after the show was over, he jumped ship over to Animage, you know, the famous animation magazine, mm-hmm. and he started this long running manga series called The Five Star Stories, that is still ongoing to this day, which is basically him just redoing all of Heavy Metal Elgin in the way he thinks it should have ended. It's good. And really, other than that, just dealing with the heat. And like I said at the top of the show, when it's not hot, it's muggy. And when it's not muggy, it's rainy. And I basically have not left my house the last 3 days.
You have to have a really compelling reason to get out of the air conditioning.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's to get into your truck to more air conditioning, it takes time to adjust.
Yeah, yeah, it does. But keep in mind, this is not, you know, this is Georgia we're talking about.
Right, this is a different level.
Yeah, and we have this every summer.
Yep.
And you would think
in June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. June is usually, I mean, like, June, it usually, this time of year, it's pretty hot, but it doesn't get into, like, super hot until, like, July or August. We have not gotten up to 100 yet, and probably will not for a while. Doesn't make it feel any better, though. And, you know, thinking, you know, having shit like this happen every summer, you would think after a while that I would get used to it, right?
I think it wears you down the older you get.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I'm 35 now, and I can definitely feel it.
Yeah. I mean, my family is clamoring for me to go visit Kentucky, and I really honestly can't right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm not fully well enough yet.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. My dad is in his 60s now, and he during the summer, you know, every so often, you know, the grass still keeps growing in the summer, so you got to go out there and cut grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a riding mower, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he'll get out there at, like, maybe 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning
mm-hmm.
to cut the grass, and then he's pretty much out of commission for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it just zaps you. So does he smoke a cigar while he cuts grass?
No. I mean,
okay.
He did smoke, when I was younger.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a very Southern phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking the cigar while you're riding on the riding mower.
I will say this, though. Even though he stopped smoking them, he still keeps sucking on the end of them well into my teenage years. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. All right. So with that out of the way, has anybody got anything else they want to add on before we move on?
Nope.
No? All righty then. Well, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, I thought I would start a little series about talking about some individuals who are heavily influential in the world of anime, because we're all nerds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so anime is one of those things. And the unique thing about anime is, like, especially in the Japanese context, there's a lot of individuals in the anime industry that you could very easily call auteurs. Because the whole anime industry as we know it was started by an auteur, Osamu Tezuka. So it's filled with individuals who have become famous for their work in anime, often solely anime, though not always. And this week I want to talk a little bit about a guy who, he's kind of one of my personal heroes because he's not famous in anime for being an artist. He's not famous for being a director. He's famous for being a writer and a composer. Now, some of you are out there are listening and saying, writer and composer, there's only one guy that can be. But for those of you who don't know, I'm going to list off a couple of franchises that you might be familiar with. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Air. Canon. Clannad. Angel Beats. Any of this ringing any bells?
Yep.
All right. Because if you did, then you know what all of these are. These are all franchises that come from what company? Key, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's one guy in all of them that is common to all of them. It's a guy by the name of Jun Maeda. And here's the thing about Jun Maeda. Jun Maeda originally got his start in computer gaming. Because as anybody who knows, all those franchises I just listed, they didn't start at, well, with the exception of maybe the last one, they didn't start out as anime. They originally started out as what? As visual novels, right? Shoujo games. You know, stuff that you played on, you know, your computer. And he was responsible for writing the scenarios and composing the majority of the music for all of these things. Now, what is it about all of these anime that sort of have common themes in them? One is they all have that sort of moe character design to them, which is like endemic to late 90s to today's anime. They've also got an awful lot of humor, like some that is screamingly funny. And three, they all leave you a sobbing, snotty, crying mess by the end of them. Right?
Yeah.
Unless, you know, it's Clannad after Sori, in which case the ending just kind of pisses you off.
I want to talk about that one. Sorry. Yeah. Strong reaction there.
Yeah, that's not an uncommon reaction I've heard from people. People either see that and it's like, you know, it's just an unrelenting, you know, train of depressing trauma, and then suddenly this magic gift at the end, and it's like, you literally just put me through hell, and now you want me to suddenly be like, oh, it's all nice again. Yeah, screw you.
Mm-mm, no.
Mm-mm. No. You just
it's very inauthentic.
Yeah, you just killed a mother and her child just so you could get tears out of me. Screw you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the original Clannad, on the other hand, that's a different story. That one's actually pretty good. Now, Jun Mina himself has kind of a sort of unique sort of approach. Like a lot of people who got into the gaming industry who wanted to be writers, he didn't originally start out doing games, and he actually, as far as like writing was concerned, when he was a kid, he did a bunch of amateur game books that he would do. You know what a game book is, right? Think like Choose Your Own Adventure, but with more RPG mechanics attached to it. You know, like Fighting Fantasy. That type of thing. Yeah, that's the type of stuff he did. He was a big fan of those. A lot of people don't know this. The Fighting Fantasy game books were actually pretty popular in the 80s and 90s in Japan. Like, they were huge hits. But as for Maida, he was actually a fan of the Grail Quest series by J.H. Brennan, which is the sort of series he's particularly made as his big influence. And as far as like writing fiction is concerned, well, he was one of those guys who submitted like a bunch of short stories to the Sneaker. For those who don't know what the Sneaker is, the Sneaker was one of those premier light novel magazines that used to be a lot more plentiful. There's only like one or two of them that are around, and unfortunately the Sneaker ain't one of them anymore. But the Sneaker was a publication by Kadokawa Shoten, which you may know as just Kadokawa. And if you know anything about light novels back in the old days, and still to this day, they were a big deal. If you know the Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, Konosuda, Trinity Blood, Sagrada Reset, you know, stuff like that. Lots of those types of things. Unfortunately, he never won any of those. Never won any of those contests. So eventually, he decided to just go to college. And while he was working on his college thesis, he started listening to techno music, which is a big deal because, again, if you've listened to any of his music, you can see the techno influence on a lot of it. Especially, what's that song? Sora no Uta, which is like from Canon. Big deal. When he decided to go into gaming, he signed up with a couple of different companies. He started working with Alisoft, which is famous for the Rants series, and I'm not going to go into that, but let's just say it was an Eroge, and with everything that entails. But eventually, he made his way to Tactics under Nexton, which was their publisher. He worked on a game called Moon, where he was the first time he actually worked on scenario and music. And then he did the scenario for their next game, One Kageyasu Kigoetsu-i, in 1998. And after that point, he and a bunch of other dudes who were working there decided, you know, it was time to go off and do better pastures. So they went to visual arts, and they ended up forming their own company, and that company is Key. And so after that, they released Key's first game, which was Canon, where, again, he worked on the music and the scenario, and the game was a massive hit. It came out in 1999. It sold boatloads of copies. And what a lot of people don't realize is that with the, you know, Key's first couple of games, Canon and Air, and I think Little Busters as well. These were all H games. You know, they were Eurogag, which meant that you would have these really, like, comedic, very happy games that would also, you know, go into, like, just heart-stopping tragedy that Key is known, and then you would get these sex scenes sort of awkwardly pushed into it. Yeah. So, as you could probably guess, you know, if you ever play, like, any of these games today, most of the game versions that you'll get of today are the clean versions that keep out most of the sex stuff, because after Clannad came out, you know, which was an all-ages game, they basically, and it was such a success, it was like, yeah, we don't need to do the sex thing anymore. We can just,
money elsewhere.
Yeah, we can just work on, you know, we can sell things by the story. That's pretty much what they kept doing. The only difference being Little Busters, which was their sixth game, and that one, it wasn't an adult game originally, but they put out an adult version to go along with it later, weirdly enough. But their third game, Clannad, was the one that really made them famous, and you've seen the original Clannad, haven't you?
It's been a while, but yeah.
Yeah, so you understand why that anime became such a big hit.
Yeah.
And why it basically ripped your heart out and stomped on it at the end.
Yeah, I haven't had the heart to rewatch. Cause, oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's the thing about Maeda is he's a master at that shit. Every scenario he's ever worked on has been like that. It doesn't matter what the genre is. He's managed to find some way to bring in the story that will make you really care and like these characters a lot. Usually because he spends so much time, you know, seeing these characters just sort of going through their relationships in their everyday life. And he usually manages to spike it with a lot of really good jokes and humor. Like stuff that's legitimately really funny. He does, in hindsight, he really doesn't get as much credit for his comedic timing as he does his tragic timing, because he's able to make some genuinely funny shit. Then there was Tomoyo After, It's a Wonderful Life, which is a very somber sci-fi post-apocalyptic game that I played sometime. If you ever get a chance, that one's actually a pretty good. And then, of course, eventually they worked on the project that would become Angel Beats. Now, I don't know if you know this. Did you know that Angel Beats was originally itself going to be a game before they decided to turn it into an anime series? Yeah. So, Angel Beats was originally... Like, if you watch the anime and you pay attention to some of the plot points in it, you'll start to understand like what they were kind of going for. You know that whole thing in Angel Beats that's like the sort of thing of like they're going underneath the school into what are basically these dungeons so that they can try and find this thing at the end of it. And there's these dudes who make weapons for them, but every time they go in, they always like end up dying or whatever.
Yeah, no, I haven't gotten around to watching that one.
Well, first of all, you should, because it's actually really good. So apparently Maeda originally planned it so that Angel Beats was going to be like an RPG. Specifically, it was going to be kind of like a bit of a roguelite where, you know, every time you went into the underground dungeon underneath the school, it was going to be like a procedurally generated type thing. But the game basically went into like development hell, and eventually it ended up being the anime that ended up coming out first before the game did. And by that point, the game had just become another, you know, visual novel type thing. That was for a while like the last major project he worked on like directly. He did work as on an anime project called Charlotte in 2015, where he was the planner, the writer, and again, he did the music. But Up until 2020, he basically sort of took a short retirement from the industry. And the reason is it's like karmic irony. He revealed in a press release that he was suffering from dilated cardiomyopathy and he was going to need a heart transplant. And anybody who read that news and went to the forums will see the immediate thing is like, oh my God, that is so freaking ironic, because that is like one of the most common themes in his work is the girl who's like slowly dying of some organ failure.
Oh my God.
Yeah. For the record, he's actually much better. He's much better now, and he's like works more directly. Last year, he collaborated with a couple of different companies to put out another anime series called The Day I Became a God, where he was the planner and writer. He also is the creator of the original concept and composed the music for another key gang called Summer Pockets. Now, part of the reason why his projects work so well as they do is not just the writing. He's a good writer, but he's probably an even better composer, because part of the reason that all of these like really tragic things work so well in his work is because he's absolutely perfect at writing music that really gets to pluck at your heartstrings. I think it was Canon. I think the game was actually Air that the song comes from. It's a techno song that he did called, I think it's called Sori no Uta. And it's surprisingly really emotional, because it's basically about a person who desperately wants to fly, and once they finally get the chance, it's like that whole thing where they're like, it's Icarus flying too close to the sun and they end up falling, and it's like, oh, it's like, oh goodness, the feels, man. Angel Beats is probably the absolute king of this, because he's got like three songs in there that will absolutely tear out your heartstrings. There's the last song that plays in the very final episode as it's ending, and that one is an absolute banger of a song, because it's so that whole ending is just so depressing. And it's so not fair and all that stuff. Because this is a key anime, and you know how key animes go. But there's also a song in there that is very simple, and it's not terribly complicated or anything at all. It's called trying to find it. It's literally just an acoustic guitar and a lady belting her heart out, because she's so like I mentioned the thing about the school and like there's a dungeon underneath that they have to go to. The reason they're able to do this is because they have their own J-rock band called Girls Dead Monster that puts on these shows that distracts everyone so they can go underneath the school. But the head of that particular the head of that group is a girl named Masami Iwasawa, who is the rhythm guitarist and the vocalist. And she's only there for three episodes, and it's at the very end of the third episode that she picks up an acoustic guitar and plays this song called My Song. And it will absolutely just tear your heart out and stomp all over it, because it goes into like what her life was up to that point and why she died. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, the reason this place is called Angel Beats is because all the people in this had already been dead, and this is sort of like a purgatory they're in before they go on to the next life or whatever. And it's just, I won't spoil anymore. That's just it, because it's that good. It's that good, and I highly recommend it. He's done like some other musical projects. He put together a band called Flaming June, and they put out a concept album called Long Long Love Song with a bunch of really good story songs in them. He's also in a band where he's the guitarist. Dude's just mad talented, so he's kind of a hero of mine. That's yet another episode of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, so with that out of the way, it is now time for the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And who is our first asshole of the week? Why, it's disgraced ex-cop and convicted murderer Derek Chauvin, who was sentenced to 22.5 years in prison for killing George Floyd this week.
Yep. Yeah. Parole after 15, possible, which means parole after 7.
Yeah.
That's me being cynical. I have no knowledge basis for that.
Well, obviously it wasn't the maximum sentence possible. And it's believed that the reason this was given is because this is the number that is least likely to be turned down on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that he would have to... And keep in mind, he's still facing federal charges as well as this.
Okay.
So this isn't the end of it. This is just the specific sentence for him. He still has to deal with like federal civil rights violation charges as well.
Yeah, and this is still the most years that a cop has gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I have heard lighter sentences for other murderers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not cop murderers, but and not people who murder cops either, because they always get sentenced heavily. But you know, just general murders. Oh, that sounds so icky to say, mm-hmm. but. I mean, they're usually serving like 5 years and they're out, which is such a short amount of time for having ended a life. So I'm not overly upset by the 22 years. I'm surprised. I didn't think it was going to be that high.
Yeah. Like I said, this is the number that is least likely to be overturned on appeal. So, yeah. You know, the least he's got is 7 years and then he has to do parole. And considering that we're also combining this with the federal civil rights charges, he's going to be in there for a while.
Yeah.
And he's also probably going to be in protective custody for most of it as well.
I would imagine, yeah.
Which is basically about as good as giving him solitary. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see how this plays out, and we're especially when the federal charges come in, because I have a feeling the Department of Justice is going to be wanting to make an example of this dude.
That could be.
Yeah, but also happened this week, something we kind of expected to happen. Senate's GOP blocked Before the People Act with the filibuster, and by that we mean not an actual filibuster, but that weird rule they came up with where you have to have over 60% senators vote for it, or otherwise they won't even bring it up for discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is the thing you'd expect, especially after they finally reached a deal with
Joe Manchin. Yeah.
To get him on board. So they had full 50-50 split.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess ahead of this, the White House, Jen Psaki had said basically that if this thing were to get shot down again, they would really have to look at the filibuster rules and see what they can do there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. By the way, speaking of assholes, this week we've started getting our first series of sentencings and guilty pleas for those who were arrested for their involvement in the June 6th Beer Belly Putsch, also known as the DC Insurrection.
Yeah.
A lot of these people are turning state's witness,
which
means we're going to get even more people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of this is the case against the Oath Keepers.
Mm-hmm.
Where they got their first guilty plea in that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody named Graydon Young pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy, one count of obstruction of an official proceeding. The 55-year-old Florida resident agreed to cooperate with investigators, which would, be important if they want to go after the rest of the people, especially those that might be higher profile people. Then there are the regular people that, try to break into the Capitol and all that. Let's see, they have it here. Yeah, I think it's the first one got probation for 3 years. So nothing too severe, but just the first one there. So yeah, that's kind of how they're starting to go. No jail time for Anna Morgan Lloyd, 49-year-old from Indiana, described January 6th as, quote, the best day ever. In the first Capitol riot defendant to be sentenced.
Yep.
Not accused of taking part in any of the violence.
Yeah.
Pleaded guilty to a single misdemeanor count of parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building.
Yeah.
It's on a fairly minor
count
compared to what some of the others will get.
Yeah. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense that these would be the first ones to be.
They're given slam dunk easy things, right?
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, these are the easy ones. We can, these guys aren't really worth our time. We got bigger fish to fry, And like we said, a lot of these people are turning state's witness as well, which means that they probably negotiated some of this stuff ahead of time in exchange for their testimony. But we'll be seeing where that goes. Last asshole of the week, Rudy Giuliani, because he had his loss license in New York suspended this week. I'm kind of surprised it took that long.
These are actual lawyers.
Yeah.
The New York State Court had suspended Rudy Giuliani for practicing law. After concluding that he made false statements alleging rampant fraud to try to overturn former President Donald Trump's loss in 2020 election.
Yeah.
Yeah, 33-page decision. The court said there was, quote, uncontroverted evidence that Giuliani communicated demonstrably false and misleading statements to courts, lawmakers, and the public at large in his capacity as lawyer for former President Donald J. Trump, the Trump campaign in connection with Trump's failed effort at re-election in 2020.
And keep in mind, Giuliani became famous as a prosecutor. Like, he took down... He's credited, even though he didn't actually do a lot of the actual work, he's credited with taking down, like, the Gambino crime family. Like, that's his sort of big claim.
That's his deal?
Okay. Yeah. He's the guy who's generally credited with pretty much permanently breaking the back of La Cosa Nostra in New York for good. Though, again, like I said, he didn't actually do a lot of the actual work. It was the people working under him that did most of it. So it's been suspended. I kind of doubt he's actually going to get it back because he does not have a very good reputation over there. And any lawyer tell you reputation is a big part of the business. So we'll see where that goes. But fortunately, it wasn't all terrible. We actually do have some heroes of the week to talk about. And the first big hero of the week we got is NFL player Carl Nassib of the Las Vegas Raiders, because he became the first active NFL player to come out as gay this week.
Yeah, he posted a video on his Instagram account saying, "What's up, people? I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. I just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now. I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really had the best life. I've got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for." Follows it up with, I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm not really doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I just hope that, like, one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, as compassion. I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. Yeah, which is a crisis intervention and suicide prevention service for LGBTQ, the community at large for that. Yeah, he's the first active NFL players. Some that have come out after their careers, others that were out ahead of the draft but never really played or anything. Some stuff like that, but he's the first one that's got an active deal with the Raiders, kind of continuing to definitely has guarantees to play for at least a few more years. So you might know him because there was the Hard Knocks show on HBO that chronicles an NFL team every year. The Browns were on it in 2018 when he was a rookie, where he was on a whiteboard giving financial advice to teammates.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff about compound interest, trying to teach them how to save their money properly. Became a popular player for that whole thing.
All right. And that wasn't the only LGBT thing to happen this week, because we also got a weightlifter from New Zealand who became the first openly transgender Olympic athlete. And we don't mean former Olympic athlete like Caitlyn Jenner. We mean current.
Yeah, she got named to the women's weightlifting roster for New Zealand for the upcoming Olympics that start here in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Somehow it's starting.
Yeah.
Because it seems like a complete mess over there.
Mm-hmm.
They're only letting like 10,000 people into the stadium. They all have to be locals. They're not letting any foreigners in. I think they're not even selling alcohol just to minimize opportunities for spread of coronavirus. Japan's not doing so well with their
Yeah, they got a lot of vaccine refusal there.
Because
they kind of didn't get on that as soon as they could have.
Yeah.
Because they weren't necessarily suffering from it as much when
they
needed to make deals for the vaccine stuff.
I'm actually a little baffled at the vaccine refusal in that country.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
surely a lot of Japanese companies and laboratories were partnering with it. That should make the difference there.
Yeah.
But
well, the thing is, Japan's been kind of undergoing its own sort of shift to the right in the last 20 years. Especially under their current and former prime minister. Not Shinzo Abe. Shinzo Abe actually isn't prime minister anymore. But
Abe.
Yeah. But yeah, they've been dealing with that crap too.
It feels like one step forward, two steps back sometimes, but I have faith that we will come out further ahead.
Yeah.
I have to.
Mm-hmm. And then we have General Mark Milley, who answered a rather stupid question from human bobblehead and frickin', let's be honest, accused sex offender Matt Gaetz.
Fuck.
When he asked him to to have the general explain why critical race theory is good, and General Milley basically turned around and slapped him upside the head rhetorically and made him his bitch.
Yeah.
It's not quite how it went. It was, you can watch the video they have here from C-SPAN, but it's generally the most of the questions went to...
Yeah, he did not ask this question of General Milley. It went to
Defense
another,
Secretary Lloyd Austin.
Who is African-American, by the way.
Yeah. Asked him about that stuff because he claimed that he had talked to a number of unnamed military members who were criticizing the military's recent stand down to deal with extremism, and asked about how the Defense Department should, quote, think about critical race theory. You know, he answers that and that kind of stuff, but the last 2 minutes of the video is particularly important because that's where the next Gates's time ended. The next person sort of said, I'm going to yield my time to General Mark Milley because he has something to say on this topic and wanted him to be able to say it.
Yeah.
Where he talks about how it's critical race theory is kind of an important thing, talking about how, you know, the military academies are actual universities mm-hmm. that they want to, you know, teach their students, their soldiers, the various, you know, thoughts of the sort of people they can run into and all that. And he says, like, things like, I've read Mao Zedong, I've read Karl Marx, I've read Lenin, that doesn't make me a communist.
Yep.
So what is wrong with understanding, having some situational understanding about the country for which we are here to defend?
Yeah,
I personally find it offensive that we are accusing the United States military, our general officers, our commissioned, non-commissioned officers of being, quote, woke or something else because we're studying some theories that are out there.
Yeah, Mao's actually on the required reading list when you go into the military academy because he's considered one of the military geniuses of the 20th century.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he also says here, I want to understand white rage, and I'm white, and I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? What caused that? I want to find that out.
Yeah.
And yeah, this guy, you know, knows his shit. Even because he's the, you know, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Mm-hmm.
Talking heads on Fox and OAN and whatnot, they're going to demonize him for wanting to learn and understand and not just work off of whatever small amount of facts or theories or prejudices were instilled in him before he turned, say, I guess 15, which is when it seems like they think we should all stop learning.
Oh, no, they already have. Yeah, Tucker called him a racist pig on his program this week.
Oh, my God.
And he called him stupid, called him a pig.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Ingraham said some shit I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy, I think, I forget who it was, Brian Williams, I think, was basically just going off on him.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying, you know, pointing out tweets from other people in the military saying, like, you see those stripes on his sleeve? That's, he gets one of those for every 6 months he spent in combat.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing when it comes to this stuff. Because people are like, oh, you should be more concerned about fighting wars and winning, that kind of stuff. It's like, we're not really in the point of trying to win wars or whatever.
Yeah. And
the military is basically an arm of our, like, diplomacy at this point.
And by the way, those stripes on his sleeve, can you count them for me real quick? If you can see them, that is.
It's something like 10 there.
Yeah, so that's 10. That means he's spent a combined total of...
5 years active service?
In combat. That's
combat. Active combat, yeah.
Yeah.
So he doesn't earn
and, how much
of these things.
And how much time in the field has Tucker Carlson had?
Tucker Carlson couldn't find his way out of a fucking pillowcase, let alone through military conflict.
Yeah.
You start to realize these guys, their so-called respect for our boys in uniform goes out the window once
they stop agreeing with the or once they actively rally against the talking points that they assume the military automatically supports.
Yeah. That's the thing about that mindset is they all secretly think that everybody else agrees with them. They're just the ones who are brave enough to say it out loud. But once it turns out that, though, that's not the case, that actually everybody else thinks they're assholes, they kind of immediately turn on them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just look at how... who is it?
Well, it's because they're out for themselves. They're not out for the country. They're not out for a party. I mean, they'll turn on a Republican. Look what they did to Pence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
it's like, it's
ridiculous.
House Rep McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing with one of the Capitol Police basically talking to him. And he was just being disrespectful, refusing to shake his hand, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, as soon as they don't serve their political agenda, they're nothing to them.
Yeah. They're disposable.
Same with the military leaders and all this. Like, this guy knows more shit about, you know, the military than any of these idiots on Fox News and OAN and Newsmax and all that.
Yeah.
Even than most of the presidents.
Yeah.
Speaking of Newsmax, we went out to eat Friday night because I was feeling pretty decent. And we went to a family restaurant and they had fucking Newsmax on. And they had whoever Jenner, I don't know what, I don't know the dead name. I don't know the current name because I don't give two shits.
It's Caitlyn Jenner. Yeah.
Yeah, that one who I didn't even know was running for governor
of California.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And she just regurgitates Trump shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if she doesn't understand it.
Oh, and they had Giuliani on there. And I'm like, he fucking just lost his degree, or is there, not his degree, his law license, and you're going to give him airtime? Yeah, I know you guys are shit. So I have decided that because other than the Japanese restaurant, whenever I go into restaurants, I have the possibility of being exposed to this shit. And I don't want to be because it ruins part of, you know, what I'm there to do, which is enjoy myself, be with my family, and, you know, not be whatevered with this shit. So I have decided that other than the Japanese place, we're only going to go to sports bars. If there's a possibility that an eatery would have a TV in there and they're not going to be playing sports, they could be playing something else. Well, we ain't going to go there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of post-pandemic life is just very disappointing. That was one aspect of it.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah, they're just going to play the old people news. And I say news with air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the notion that you want to go to a sports bar because the regular restaurants are too toxic is a hell of a thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You would have thought that after all this that we would have come out of it being better people. And you know what? Largely, I think we have. But assholishness doesn't take a holiday.
It doesn't.
I'll just put it that way.
We just learned who doesn't care about other people.
Mm-hmm.
We really did.
Anyway, speaking of post-pandemic life, we're going on into the proper show proper. And our first story is that, sadly, it looks like we're going to fall short of hitting 70% of adults vaccinated in the U.S. by July 4th.
We are.
Yeah.
Now, it's not any of us because we've all been vaccinated.
No, but it's some of our goddamn family members.
Yeah.
Much to my dismay.
Same here.
Yeah. But yeah, they acknowledge that they are going to fall short of reaching his goal of vaccinating 70% of all American adults with at least one shot by Independence Day. But it tried to paint an optimistic picture by stressing that the nation had reached that threshold for those age 30 and up.
Yeah.
And expects to meet it for those age 27 or older by the July 4th holiday.
Mm-hmm.
They also expect to miss the second goal, fully vaccinating 165 million adult Americans by July 4th. Let's see. Projects will take several more weeks to hit that number.
Yeah.
On Monday, the U.S. crossed 150 million fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just
150 million. That was 150 million fully vaccinated. So that's about just about 50% of the country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that itself is good.
I think that's what 165 is.
Yeah. There's roughly about 300 million people in the country. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think people necessarily realize that kids make up a big portion of our population, like 15 to 20%.
Yep.
Yeah.
Depending on how old you go to.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we still have a large chunk of kids that aren't eligible for vaccines yet.
Yeah.
We do.
Like, it's like elementary school aged.
Yeah, well, anything middle school and under. Well, yeah, pretty much middle school and under. 12 and under.
Yeah.
Or is it 11? No, because 12 to 16, 12 through 15 got their vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And you still approved, have at least. Issue of parents that aren't into the vaccines.
Yeah.
Forcing it on the kids.
Yeah.
Which, like, you wonder when it's going to get to the point of just, like, let the the school nurses handle that stuff.
That's what they used to do.
Yeah,
They would just come in and they would line them up and they would go jab, jab, jab down the line and they would do the vaccines at school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this was like 50s and 60s now. Maybe 70s.
Yeah.
Not when I was a kid in the 80s. That didn't happen.
By the way, if you've ever wondered like where the modern vaccine hesitancy shit comes from, which, I mean, we all know where it comes from.
It's fucking Wakefield.
Yeah. You guys know who H. Bomber Guy is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy.
His video is amazing.
Yeah, he did. His most recent video is him specifically about
looking into this whole thing.
Yeah, he actually made a point of like actually reading Wakefield's paper, which, as you'll come to realize, pretty much nobody else has actually done that.
Yeah.
And you suddenly realize it's like, why did this convince anybody? Because it's shit.
And then he literally does the bit of like, oh, here's the short thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it took 52 seconds.
Yeah. And then he brings up like the guy he used as like his source. That Hugh Fudenberg guy who you find out was like he lost his medical license because he was basically
stealing supplies from his hospital.
Stealing medical supplies from his hospital. And he had come out about this quack theory that he could cure autism with a pill that was made from his own bone marrow. Yeah.
Also, it's a rare video where it's like an hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah. And it's where
it literally escalates the entire time. It never dips down. You get angrier and angrier as you get further along.
Mm-hmm.
Up until the end.
Yeah.
Where you're like,
how is this guy not in jail?
How are all of these people not in jail?
Yeah.
How is this guy able to just live in America and just continue to push this
bullshit?
Shit?
Yeah. Because it's like
they're making money off of it
from day one.
Yeah. And like here's the thing. You find out, okay, he decided to do this paper that ended up to be bullshit. You know, you find out that the guy he was collaborating with was a complete nutcase. Then you find out that he was trying to make people to break down the MMR vaccine into three separate vaccines, which would be much more expensive. And then you find out the reason why he was doing that was because he had filed a patent a few months before for a separate MMR vaccines.
That's just for one of them.
Yeah.
Like
and
measles
then,
vaccine or something like that.
Then you find out that when Brian Deere, the guy who the investigative journalist who started looking into this, once Wakefield found out,
he literally was ducking him.
Yeah.
Managed to catch him at an event.
Yeah.
And he immediately just ran.
And then he sued him.
Which means the material in question becomes available for discoverability.
And then you find out probably the worst part about all of this is that Andrew Wakefield actually abused a lot of children in order to make this paper.
So much so that the hospital had to pay for, you know, settlement
money. Yeah, because the kid, he went through too many colonoscopies that caused perforation in his bowels, which caused organ failure. Yeah.
Oh, that poor kid.
And I'm leaving out a lot of shit, too. It
turns
out
there's a lot of shit that gets you mad.
Like, those kids in the study that he uses as saying, you know, they had the correlation between MMR and vaccine and autism. Turns out, two of those kids weren't even autistic to begin with. He
made up a bunch of information.
Yeah.
Whatever wanted to. And there's, again, this is like halfway through the video.
Yeah. We're leaving out a bunch.
It's well worth watching it because what Brandon has said is not even half of what's revealed in there.
That's like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Like literally when he sued Brian Deere to shut him up.
Yeah.
Literally opened up so that Deere, the investigative journalist, could look at all of the information from the study and all this stuff. His lawyers had to literally go and run to the courthouse to shut down the suit.
Yeah.
To stop him, even though it was too late.
And that's why he ended up losing his doctor's license.
The amount of harm. And, you know, I mean, you guys know, I had my time where I was too busy working. I had people whispering in my ears, all this bullshit crackpot theories. And I was a mom who was scared, who didn't want to do the wrong thing for her kid. So we didn't vaccinate it first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we clearly we got with the goddamn program. But it's really fucking cruel to do that kind of manipulation. I mean, that I didn't need to have that fucking experience. And, you know, thank fucking God herd immunity covered my kid for the first couple of years, you know, because there has been harm done. No doubt. And a lot of it is because people are turning to alternative theory or, you know, methods, theories, whatever. They're doing all sorts of things. They're giving their kids fucking colloidal silver and whatnot. There's a lot of harm being done. And they're taking babies and having them adjusted by a chiropractor within a couple of hours after being discharged from the hospital. There's a lot of shit that this has caused that people wouldn't even think is related. But it is! And it's all because of this motherfucker who, I don't know, was it greed? Was he looking for money? Because it's kind
of... There's a lot of things. Like, again, he started the anti-vax movement. He was not against vaccines.
Yeah.
He just wanted to create patent a new vaccine to be thrown in the mix to make a lot of money off of that.
Yeah.
And his bullshit with the separate things for the MMR thing, I actually asked for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was some of the bull crap that I was hearing from the people that I was running with at the time.
Oh, did you ever find out why it was supposed to cause autism? Like, what
they said it was thimerosal.
Yeah, okay, so they pointed... So, okay, I kind of don't want to reveal this because, again, I want people to go watch that H. Farmer Guy video.
It's money behind all of this.
Yeah.
No real need to go into details, but...
It's money, yeah.
It's like rich people even richer. That's essentially...
Yeah, it's because... The reason is because the supposed syndrome is such bullshit. It's like something that even I, who has, you know, just...
So much so that the people that he worked with on that study, you know, figured this out, that there was nothing, no link to any of this, and he just wrote up this paper linking them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for a while, especially sleep-deprived people who are parents, they're not going to go looking real deep at this. Mm-hmm. But when they do... If they ever do, because
especially the British media that is not that interested in facts.
Yeah.
They go into that, you know, here's the only doctor that will listen.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, because he made up half the shit he put in there. It's like,
H. Farmer Guy himself points out at the end of his video is that after all the Wakefield stuff blown over, most of Britain got the picture. Realized that he was full of shit, and now they don't really have the vaccine hesitancy that they had during his pinnacle.
Yeah, but it's
and
idea of letting this fake medical study out into the media that doesn't know how to write about this stuff in the right way.
Yeah,
where they're just like, oh, they figured this out, that there's this link. You shouldn't do this. Do these vaccines, at least not the one that's all of them together.
Yeah.
You should pay more for the separate ones.
Yeah.
And all this.
And my doctor told me to pound sand, by the way, when I asked for that. Which is fine. And he was really instrumental. And every time I saw him, he's like, tell me what your concerns are. We'll have a discussion. And I'm like, I don't have time to talk about it. But I found the time. And way before Wakefield was discredited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, history had a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, especially if you watch it, Teresa, you'll just get angrier and angrier.
I probably would be screaming mad because some of the people that I knew of that I have no respect for now, because they have not changed their ways. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for their kids.
Yeah.
And yeah, it will make me really, really angry because there's probably still 20 families that I know who still haven't gotten on the board with vaccination. Yeah. And it drives me absolutely ape shit.
And he has to acknowledge that at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like, they've probably already heard all of the same stuff debunking their things. They're already entrenched in a way that's
seemingly impossible. Well, I will say some of the kids who are older, from some of the parents, and this is particularly the homeschooling parents, as soon as they turned 18, they went and started getting their vaccines.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, yeah.
Because they probably saw on the internet all the evidence why this stuff is bullshit.
They knew. Because by then it had been 18 years of this crackpot fucking theory that mm-hmm. the mom believes and this other fucking crackpot yeah. theory. And they knew.
They don't yeah. connect the dots the way their parents did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They see right. the flaws in the logic.
All Which right. is great because, you know, at a certain age, everything a parent does is wrong. Mm. And that's yeah. the coming of age. And they're finding actual knowledge here, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instead of it being like, oh, they're an idiot for thinking these bands are cool or whatever.
Yeah.
It's actual medical
yeah.
shit. They think they're in the know of that doctors don't actually know.
I wish it was just back to the bands and shit.
Oh, you know AC/DC's not cool anymore, Dad.
I don't know. I mean, take a look at how much they'd make if they still toured.
Mm. Well, I mean, just check the frickin' soundtracks for the Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
They're definitely still cool.
Yeah.
I think they just sold their library. Like yeah. a lot of bands are doing.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, moving on. We also have another problem that's coming because of that hesitancy is the Delta variant.
Yeah, this is the one that originated in India.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very nasty. It is like several times more transmissible.
Mm-hmm.
To the degree that I've seen some stories that are like, somebody was sitting, you know, at a train station or something like that and managed to get it, not being in direct contact with anybody, mm-hmm. but because a person that was positive, COVID positive, sat there a few hours earlier.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, because, I mean, some of those particles still remain in the air after they get up.
Yeah, so. for this particular variant, because we figured out with the main COVID that we had here in the US that it wasn't as able to stick on, you know, surfaces and cover boxes and whatnot mm-hmm. very long. If you're even minutes later, you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one seems to have a lot of the strengths that the base one didn't.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the scary thing for anybody that isn't vaccinated at all. Even one dose is not great. So I think something like you're 30% protected with one dose.
Yeah.
But like 88, you know, 90% with both doses.
Yeah. Now, the good news is if you are fully vaccinated, then yes, you're mostly safe from it.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you won't have any chance of getting it.
Suffer.
But
yeah.
It'll likely limit the, you know, the
lingering
effects you have from it.
Yeah.
And it seems like the effects that might tip you off to having this is stuff like, you know, like a cold,
mm-hmm.
stuffy nose, you know, cough, that kind of stuff.
Man, I don't want to hear that because I hear a whole lot of people, including myself, with the coughing and the congestion and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me these things. My uncle, see, I think it's allergies, but with him as well, because it's been so crazy with the humidity and everything, but it's a thing. There's been a lot of people coughing and a lot of people, you know, sniffling and all that other stuff. Yeah. And I was out when I saw on Twitter that the World Health Organization recommended masking up because of the variant. And I'm like, well, are you fucking kidding me? And it said, especially if you're in a place of high transmission, which right now is Latin America.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of travel from my area to and from there, so
mm-hmm.
I have concerns.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already growing in numbers here for the variant. I think it's something like 10% or something like that. The Alpha variant is the dominant one here. That's the one that came from the UK.
Yeah.
But this one's even worse than that, so
yeah,
people need to get their shots.
Yeah, get your shot. Seriously.
Basically, any place I've seen has been like, just come in and tell us you want it. We'll do it.
They've got a surplus at this point.
Yeah.
And it seems like at this point, only 13 states have fully vaccinated more than half of their residents.
Yeah.
You might be able to figure a link between them here. Connecticut, Hawaii, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let me put an asterisk there. We have 71% of adults in Illinois who have had at least one dose, but I think we're only like 48% for two doses for ones that require two doses. Yeah. And that those figures just came out yesterday.
Yeah. This is an article as of last Saturday, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's no joke.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the effects of this thing if you're not protected at all.
Yeah.
Brandon can tell you.
Yes. Because I and my family contracted it. It is not fun.
Have your sense of taste in that back yet?
Oh, yeah. That all came back, but it took a few weeks.
My sister-in-law, months before she got hers back. Months! Mm-hmm. And she had it pregnant on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I was so lucky. I'm only like 35 and relatively healthy. So,
well, I mean, she's probably about your age, but
she was also pregnant, which means
that's an extenuating circumstance indeed. Yeah,
she was a huge wild card in the mix.
Yeah, pregnancy basically means you're immunocompromised. So
it can. Yeah,
you got a disease baby in you.
Well, actually, the baby probably has antibodies, so I don't know, though, man. This was back in February, and the kid won't be coming out until August, so by the time the kid is born, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it. I don't know if anybody knows enough about it yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're still gathering data.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, all right, so moving on from there. The Biden administration announced that they have a deal for a bipartisan infrastructure agreement, or at least that was the announcement. Whether or not it's going to hold is another question entirely.
Some of the people in the GOP are already starting to be like, oh, I'm not going to vote for it if, you know, this and this. It's like, yeah, that's what happens when you make a deal with people that are fundamentally uninterested in doing anything you want to do, even if it's a net benefit for everybody. They're anti-Democrat at this point.
You know, I miss the times where the differences were minute, not I'm not going to do anything to help anybody because that's a handout. Fucking Reagan. Reagan.
The GOP voted against the spending bill for getting checks out.
Mm-hmm.
Really only supported it when Trump supported it, and even then they didn't do that $2,000 check he wanted to get out there.
Nope.
They're like, now that's too generous.
Mm-hmm.
Please, we got to think of the rich people here. What about them getting $2,000 checks?
Yeah.
They're like, they'd wipe their ass with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because they make that in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking on bipartisan agreements, lawmakers have reached a bipartisan agreement on police reform for Congress.
This has leading it Tim Scott from the GOP, Cory Booker, and House Rep Karen Bass from California announcing this on Thursday. Hopefully they were actually working on this in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I've seen a lot of some of these issues. They work on this in the committees, and then they get out to like a 4-vote, and the GOP's like, "Yeah, fuck that."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it must be great for. It'll help Tim Scott's reputation. He's like, "Oh, he tried to help all this," and it's like, mm-hmm. "Yeah." He's also the guy that was in where was it that he was like, "Oh, there's no racism in this country."
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about when I was racially profiled, though.
Uh-huh.
That was ages ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you're a conundrum in person, in human form.
Yep, pretty much. And now we've also got news here that the Department of Justice will be suing my state of Georgia over our new voting laws that, let's be honest, kind of pretty obviously target African-American voters.
Like, yeah.
It's not even subtle.
No.
Like, let's be clear here. The reason this law became a thing in the first place is because we ended up sending two Democratic senators in several decades. So,
yeah. Through, you know, programs like Souls to the Polls and all this kind of stuff, trying to, you know, get black people that wouldn't necessarily vote in normal elections, sort of giving them encouragement, help, and rides and all that kind of stuff to go vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As I say, our complaint alleges that recent changes to Georgia's election laws were enacted with the purpose of denying or abridging the right of black Georgians to vote on account of their race or color, in violation of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. Lawsuit marks the first major action from the Biden administration to combat a series of new restrictive voting measures passed by the Republican-led state legislatures. It came on the 8th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court decision to gut another key provision of the landmark Voting Rights Act, Section 5.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this
I wish there was, like, some sort of, I don't know, like, you know how people will put those shaming pictures of their dog? I ate my person's shoe or something like that. Wish there was something that we could do to humiliate, I guess. I know that that's not a great tactic, but...
especially when people like Brian Kemp don't know what shame is.
Right. So that, I don't know, maybe they would feel ashamed of what they've been doing and stop other people from doing it, but that's all pipe dream shit.
Oh, you misunderstand. Our current governor does not have any shame.
Keep in mind, the
governor basically cheated to become governor in the first place.
Wasn't he also campaigning in a bus?
Yep.
Like it was a bus to take illegals out of the country?
Actually, I think that was... I'm pretty sure that was another dude that we had.
Okay.
And that dude ended up pretty badly. But
I don't know, man.
I will admit, kind of run together. So
I don't know half the time if I'm more mad at Florida and the shit that they're pulling or the knuckle draggers.
That was him. Campaigning for governor of Georgia on a deportation bus.
Yeah, that was, you're right. It was that dude. God, he was. I don't know why I separated them in my mind, but yes.
Or no, this was Michael Williams running for Georgia's governor's seat. Okay.
Told you it was a different dude.
Okay.
I'm sure it was so different from Kemp.
No, not terribly. Keep in mind, Kemp basically did a whole commercial where he got his wife's fiance on pointing a shotgun at him and was like, you know, this is my wife's fiance. Tell him what you believe. And then he spouts a bunch of Republican talking points, and Kemp's like, I think we're going to get along just fine. Yeah.
Okay, I guess Kemp had a truck for rounding up illegals.
Yeah, I pretty remember that he had a truck, because I think he got the idea from Williams.
Probably, and he's like, well, I'm not going to spend that much.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to show my truck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... there's a lot of people who really get off on their trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets to capture that segment of the vote already, not like he didn't already have it.
Yep.
Mm. But anyway. All right, moving on from there. The Supreme Court this week unanimously sided with a bunch of former college players against the NCAA in regards to education-related benefits.
So they went up before the Supreme Court.
And even
about the NCAA's like antitrust law violations, and particularly didn't go too deep into this, just kind of went on this one particular part. They upheld a district court judge's decision that the NCAA was violating antitrust law by placing limits on the education-related benefits that schools can provide to athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't like a normal kind of count. It was 9-0. Everybody took their turn to shit on the NCAA for what they were doing here. and talking about how they were going easy on them with this, saying Brett Kavanaugh had the concurring opinion. The NCAA is not above the law. The NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this puts a bit of a pin in the NCAA's bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to necessarily do too much in the short term, but definitely cause them to scramble and figure out ways to adjust themselves to, you know, avoid future rulings.
Mm-hmm. And all right, and in another Supreme Court, and you're going to want to fix this one up a little bit, Chris, but the Supreme Court, they didn't unanimously side. They sided 8-1 with a high school student on her First Amendment rights because she was I can't remember if she was suspended or expelled for a Snapchat that she made.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Give it just a second so you can let the student's First Amendment rights to curse on Snapchat account. Yep.
Yeah, basically she was a cheerleader, junior varsity, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Was trying to get to varsity. Didn't make it. And basically wrote on her Instagram... Let's see, she posted a photo of herself and a friend flipping the bird to the camera, along with a message that said, fuck the school, fuck cheer, fuck everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up being suspended from the team for what was considered disruptive behavior. And they went to court. They argued the school had no right to punish her for off-campus speech, whether it was posted online while away from school or spoken out loud at a Starbucks across the street from school. The Federal Appeals Court agreed with her, declaring that the school officials have no authority to punish students for speech that occurs in places unconnected to the campus. And yeah, the Supreme Court sided with her 8-1. I think the one dissenting justice was Thomas.
And it was probably over the handbook with the code of conduct that they make every one of those suckers sign. Every single year.
Yeah, dissent Justice Clarence Thomas wrote that the school was right to suspend Levy because students like her, quote, who are active in extracurricular programs have a greater potential by virtue of their participation to harm those programs.
No. She's not doing anything
to harm the program. She's displaying her anger at missing the next team that she wanted to be on for cheer. There's nothing like threatening anybody.
No. I'm really surprised they didn't bring up the code of conduct in the handbook that everybody has to sign. And I'm glad that this happened because that means that those stupid things have no fucking teeth.
Yeah. I mean, they only apply for school grounds.
They often say in the community too. At least they do here. You're supposed to be a shining example of the school, even when you're not at school.
Like, bitch, I have to come here because I'm legally required to.
Yeah,
let's see. Justice Stephen Breyer wrote for the majority, saying that while public schools may have a special interest in regulating some off-campus student speech, the justifications offered for punishing Levy's speech were simply insufficient. To the contrary... the speech that Levy uttered is the kind of pure speech to which, were she an adult, the First Amendment would provide strong protection. Okay. It was only there could be anything even remotely done because she's underage.
Yeah.
She was 14 when this started. Now she's in her first year at college.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long this shit takes.
Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she was a 14-year-old cheerleader who failed to win a promotion from the junior varsity to the varsity cheerleading team at her Pennsylvania school. I'm not sure if it mentions what school she's at, but she's in college now.
Mm-hmm.
At her first year. So, yeah. Wow. Seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Patient, if anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Next up in A Sign of the Times, because honestly, if you could do this effectively, why wouldn't you? More people in the U.S. quit their jobs in April than ever before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, including including a record like 649,000 people in the retail market.
And there's a reason why, and we can all tell you. Pay sucks, there's no benefits, and, you know,
and just the pandemic where they've a lot of people got to work from home and all that.
Yeah.
People,
and they had and where they can spend more time with their family, you know? They got kids now they can spend time with. They're like, yeah, why would I sacrifice all of this shit to go spend, you know, sacrifice hours of my day to a company?
10 hours in a car commuting every fucking week.
With shitty
and
pay.
Then, no benefit, yeah,
and where I'm just
the
a
mandatory,
cog, you know?
Yeah, like having to have a certain type of attire that generally isn't always provided for you. Yeah. Whereas when you're working from home, you can wear pretty much whatever you want. You just angle your camera the right way, and nobody really sees anything. You know.
And it's people that had to work the entire time, doing the same job, even probably even more with more stress laid on it.
Yeah.
Maybe for the same pay. If they don't get any sort of bumps and raises or anything.
Yeah.
It's really reasonable when these, you know, most of these companies don't care about their people. In a sense.
They don't give a goddamn.
Yeah.
And you're seeing all these signs at places like now hiring.
Yeah.
So it's been weeks. It must be a sign that you guys suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Arby's we went to had managers and crew. It was like, you know, how about you fucking up the amount that you're going to pay these people? It's not like you guys are a small mom and pop shop. You're a franchisee. Surely you've got some money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I saw one of the McDonald's was advertising on their board. It's like, oh, we pay $13 an hour. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty good compared to what I assume it was.
Yeah.
The past few years, but.
Yeah.
At this point in time, if you're a big company like that and you can't afford to pay people that much, your business model just sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really that much. And I know, like, because I even heard this from my dad. It's like, it's that, you know, there's too many people now. You know, they're all lazy and they don't want to go work. It's like, no, we want to go work.
They're tired of being exploited.
Yeah.
No work.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't want to do the work that, you know, our parents did for the same or less money.
Yeah. Also, if anything, the pandemic has shown is that there's a good chunk of our economy that does not require anyone to show up in person.
Exactly.
And how much is built on exploiting people for their work?
If you pay somebody, they're going to work even if they don't have to. I'm saying that from personal experience since I start a new job on Thursday. You know, you give me close to fucking $40 an hour, I'm going to work. I'm not, you know, I'm not just going to sit around shopping at Target and living off of Scott's money. I'm going to fucking work because that's worth my while. That's worth his while. That's worth everybody's while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the whole thing of, you know, if you work at Walmart, you see how the Waltons are literally making money hand over fist. It's like, they don't need all that money. They're already the richest family in the world.
Whereas your average Walmart worker has to, you know, get subsidized funds from the government and because the pay that they get from Walmart is terrible.
Yeah.
And the best thing that Walmart can do is like, well, I mean, you can always buy Walmart stock. And the thing is, Walmart stock is kind of shit.
Yeah, it's not splitting and doing all that other stuff like it used to back in the day.
It's like, you guys are literally making exponentially more money than the people that you're paying.
Yeah.
To the degree that
and
you know.
I gotta say, I'm pretty sure Sam Walton would vomit if he were alive and could see, if he came back to life magically, and could see what the family has done.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, when you consider the fact that, I mean, the insane cult of personality that Walmart has built around Sam Walton.
Yeah.
And I am not, like, exaggerating that at all.
No.
He is on everything in that company. He's on the magazines, he's on the posters, he's on the medals that they give out. Basically, every manager's office has a picture of Sam Walton, like, up on the wall.
Yeah.
Like it's fucking Stalin.
And I've been there early in the morning to see, like, the rah-rah-rah meetings.
Yeah.
Oh, God, like, yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck did I just walk into? I hate any kind of workplace like that.
Like, at this point, it's like, this shit is a fuck. This is gone from a business to a full-on cult.
It was like that when I worked there.
Yeah.
I didn't drink the Kool-Aid.
No.
But a lot of people did. My grandma did. Oh, she had all sorts of stock. But like I said, back in the day, it actually split and shit, and she made some pretty decent bank off of it sometimes.
Yeah. It's just, you see these companies, and it's like, you need to cut your employees in on more of the profits and not act like, oh, we don't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you don't make any money, then you go out of business.
Yeah. Your business model sucks. It's that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah, they started to see that the longtime employees that were into the Kool-Aid, they started to see that when they started seeing some of the other employees like themselves who had been there for a number of years being fired for bullshit lame reasons and replaced by minimum wage workers at part time. So they didn't have to pay any benefits either.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the people who got shit canned when I was in college.
Yeah.
And replaced by exactly what I just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, moving on from that. Quick question. Any of you guys ever use McAfee antivirus? Oh, who am I kidding?
Not willingly.
Yeah, who am I kidding? It comes with the fucking computer, whether you want it or not.
It was always the first thing getting uninstalled, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so the guy who created McAfee is John McAfee. Was, and we'll get to that, but the dude is famous for being, on top of programming probably the most popular antivirus software in the world, he was also famous for being batshit insane.
Oh, so many tax problems and hammock problems.
Yeah.
Like, he's bragging about doing all the drugs that exist.
And then...
And paying people to make new ones and testing it on himself.
Yeah.
See his picture, like a most recent picture. This is from 2012. He definitely looks like it.
Yeah.
Looks like
a dude. And then supposedly he claimed to belong to a small club that every summer would go out to the beach and have sex with a whale. Just because. Yeah.
I mean, if you're high enough, you could probably think that you did.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was found dead in a Spanish prison this week.
After repeatedly stating, if I'm found dead, I didn't commit suicide. I didn't commit suicide. I didn't commit suicide.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And they said, like, committed suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah, as they say, your judicial delegation has arrived to investigate the causes of death, adding that everything points to death by suicide.
Mm-hmm.
To which there's like a weird QAnon-style cult around this, like, when he dies, he has something set up to send out all sorts of data to the media and this kind of shit. It's like, I don't think anything's happening.
Yeah, he's not been involved in McAfee for quite some time now.
Yeah.
Even just like his potential, like, Jeffrey Epstein style whatever, which is like, I don't know that he has that or not.
No.
But, yeah, it seems ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
People want to find some other conspiracy there.
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, it's fun to imagine all these unlikely daydream type things happening, but you know, this is reality, and he was 77 years old and he was facing basically death in prison. Yeah, he probably went ahead and did plan on suicide, is my guess. And put all these red herrings out there so that, you know, he could die easy thinking that, people will be talking about me. I won't be forgotten. I guess maybe that's something that people don't want to think as they're contemplating death, is that they're going to be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although who knows how that would go in his drug-addled mind.
Mm.
And this was hours after he... a Spanish court approved his extradition to the U.S. to face tax charges.
Yeah.
Punishable by decades in prison.
Yeah, he... yeah.
Seems like he was probably not looking forward to that.
No. No,
like
I
Spanish
I...
prison more than a U.S. prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame him for offing himself there in that situation. Mm. But, I mean, it's his life to have. It's his life to not have.
Yeah.
But,
it's still super sus.
Yeah, right. All this stuff is just strange. But he was pretty damn strange.
Yeah, he was a strange human being.
For some weird reason,
I'm starting to think that that's just like a requirement to be in the tech field for some reason.
To be that kind of trailblazer in the tech field, yeah, I'm starting to think you could be right.
Mm-hmm.
Although I gotta say, his fetishes are unusual, and I don't know how you hire somebody to do that. It's like, Is there a contact us form where you just type in what you want done? Because how could you even say that with a straight face?
Yeah.
I don't want to kink shame.
Yeah.
But all right. Definitely unusual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now for a kind of sad news. Mark Hoppus, the bass player and co-lead vocalist of Blink-182, announced that he has cancer and is undergoing chemotherapy.
Yeah, posted some text on his Twitter account saying, "For the past 3 months, I've been undergoing chemotherapy for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I have cancer. It sucks, and I'm scared. And at the same time, I'm blessed with incredible doctors,
mm-hmm.
family, and friends to get me through this. I still have months of treatment ahead of me. I'm trying to remain hopeful and positive. Can't wait to be cancer-free and see you all at a concert in the near future. Love to you all." And I guess before he put that out, he put out a jokey image, picture of him in the hospital with a text on it saying, "Yes, hello, one cancer treatment, please." While he's sitting there holding a, looks like he's getting ready to play a PS5 while he's doing this.
Yeah.
So he's having better luck trying to be entertained while he's doing this shit.
Yeah.
Than others have been in the past, probably.
I mean, if he's got a good sense of humor about it, that's definitely a plus.
It's got to help.
Yeah.
And I guess they were working on an album to release later this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how far they got in on that or whatnot.
Yeah.
He'll probably like to get back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely believe he does.
And if you're on Twitter at all, definitely follow him because he's turned into a premier punk rock dad joke machine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty sad when WKQX retweeted that yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, well, shit. All our heroes are aging along with us.
He's almost 50.
Yeah.
Rivers Cuomo's 50. He looks like he's 35.
And frickin', what's his name, from Home Alone?
And Macaulay Culkin, yeah.
40s.
Have you guys listened to his Bunny Ears podcast?
I've been meaning to because I've been told it is an absolute riot.
Yeah, I liked the one that he and Will Wheaton did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like a fucking hell of a riot. And that's like from 2 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
Just the thing that the things that these guys live through, I mean.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, and then of course, you know, I mean, I was, you know, I wasn't even in high school when, you know, they broke big and became like the biggest fucking band in the world for a little while.
Yeah.
What was that? What was the album? Open Up and Say Ah.
Yeah.
Had the nurse putting the rubber glove on.
That's Enema of the State.
That was Enema.
Enema of the State. That's right.
That was my first album, and I asked my mom to get it for me. Easter.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I wonder what your mom thought.
And their next album was Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
Yeah.
We had three different versions of the album.
Yep.
With two extra songs for each of them.
Yeah.
One's about fucking a dog.
Yep. And then one of them went off and got obsessed with UFOs, and now he's the reason why, you know, the military is finally admitting all this UFO shit.
Yeah.
They have pictures of shit they don't know what it is.
Yeah. He also found it.
I don't know either. So.
Yeah. He also founded a much more mature band called Angels and Airwaves, which is good, but it's still his voice. So.
Oh yeah, you know who is the same age?
Who?
Macaulay Culkin and Chris Evans.
Yep.
Chris Evans too, huh?
Uh huh.
I thought he was much younger.
Mm.
I no, have Chris no Evans idea just turned 40. Me. Wait. Okay, no, sorry. I thought you said they were 50.
No, 40.
I was going to say. Yeah, that I fucking believe. Sorry. that was a cynical one, wasn't it? I fucking believe that.
And people were like responding, like, wait, they're both 40? What the fuck?
It's true.
It's like when John Oliver talks about how he and John Cena are the same age and he doesn't know how that's physically possible.
It's true, but yeah. Anyway.
Remember when he had a banana sticking out of his butt in a movie, Chris Evans?
Yep.
That's before he became a Marvel hero.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Also, Chris Hemsworth having an Instagram saying, happy 40th birthday, Chris Evans. You'll always be number one in my book. It's a picture of Star-Lord. What's his name?
Yeah.
It's him with Star-Lord, just like shit-talking him.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, next up, some researchers in China discover that the Dragon Man skull... Okay, so there's a bit of a story behind this. This skull called Dragon Man was originally found back in 1933. And for those who don't know, this part of China was under Japanese occupation at the time. So it kind of took a while before anybody really understood the significance of this. But they finally managed to finish up some research on the skull, and they announced they believe they found one of their earliest human ancestors.
Yeah. And nicknamed the Dragon Man, the species represents a human group that lived in East Asia at least 146,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, found it Harbin, northeast China, 1933.
Mm-hmm.
Only came to the attention of scientists more recently after an analysis of the skull had been published in the journal The Innovation.
Yep.
Yeah, in terms of fossils in the last million years, this is one of the most important yet discovered. Said one of the UK's leading experts in human evolution. What you have here is a separate branch of humanity that is not on its way to becoming Homo sapiens, but represents a long separate lineage that which evolved in the region for several hundred thousand years and eventually went extinct.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has the potential to rewrite the story of human evolution. Their analysis suggests that it's more closely related to Homo sapiens than it is to Neanderthals.
Mm-hmm.
They assigned the specimen to a new species, Homo longi, from the Chinese word for long, meaning dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Darwin would have been fucking fascinated by this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, he would have. And unlike most of his contemporaries, he would have thought nothing of the fact that it came from Chinese scientists.
No, true.
Because weirdly enough, Darwin did not really possess any of the racial or ethnic prejudices that were common in his time period, which made him extremely unusual in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, now we're full on into the entertainment part of the show. Steven Spielberg's Amblin Partners have signed a picture partnership deal with Netflix, which means we're going to be getting some Steven Spielberg projects up there in that house pretty soon.
At least from Amblin, but this is a kind of an ironic deal considering when Steven Spielberg was shit-talking Netflix a few years ago about how they don't deserve to be eligible for the Oscars with their projects, that kind of stuff, and then revealed, I forget it was either HBO Max or Disney Plus or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay, this is why this guy was doing all this shit talking. But yeah, there's now a deal between Amblin Partners and Netflix that will see the company headed by Steven Spielberg produce multiple new films for the streaming service each year. I think it's two per year. And there'll probably be some of them that are Steven Spielberg movies.
Mm.
While he's also going to be releasing stuff for Disney Plus. I think HBO Max. I think that's where the Halo stuff is at. Mm, or is that Paramount Plus? I forget which one.
I'm having trouble remembering.
Yeah, he's got stuff everywhere, like any of these big companies.
Mm-hmm.
So you make money with all of them if you can.
Yep.
Yeah, no real details yet, but so they're going to be working on stuff for him.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And next up, we now got news that Jerry Seinfeld is directing, producing, and starring in an origin story for Pop-Tart for Netflix.
Yeah, called Unfrosted.
I do like Unfrosted Pop-Tarts.
I mean, wasn't that the original version of the Pop-Tart anyway? Isn't that how the first Pop-Tarts that were produced, didn't they originally come out without the frosting?
Probably. Yeah, the movie was inspired by a popular joke of Seinfeld about when he first discovered the Pop-Tart as a kid. Explaining how the first line, when I was a kid, they invented the Pop-Tart that back of my head blew off. sets the story in motion. Yeah, just another project between him and Netflix. He had comedians and cars getting coffee.
Mm-hmm.
As well as two stand-up specials that he's done with them.
Mm.
Yeah, Netflix will be getting all 180 episodes of Seinfeld.
Wow.
Damn.
The global rights to the comedy series in 2020 for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. He's working on something that seems very stupid. I don't know. Maybe it'll be good. Who knows?
Might be.
It's been the story of Seinfeld's career, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
That pretty much
encapsulates it.
I mean, look at B-Movie. I mean, that movie is like, it came out, people thought it was stupid. Now it's damn near a bona fide classic.
Yeah, people keep talking about it. One of these days I'm going to have to actually watch it. Well, watch more than 5 minutes of it. Let me be specific there.
Fine.
Hmm.
Yeah. And finally, we got an official trailer for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and damn, does it look good.
And right at the end, they just throw, hey, Abomination is in this for some reason.
Yeah, you would never expect this is where he would come back, but there he is.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Abomination is a Hulk villain.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the same idea, just a bad guy.
Yeah.
One of the military guys.
Yeah.
I think goes through the gamma radiation.
Yeah, he's like the Incredible Hulk, but he's an asshole.
Yeah. And he can think.
Yeah.
Not until the Hulk figures that out.
He can speak in complete sentences.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, for the record, the Hulk now can speak in complete sentences in the comics and has been able to for a while, but...
And in the MCU, because he, during the downtime, he figures that all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks like it's going to be pretty good. It is out September 3rd.
Yeah.
Only in theaters.
They're hoping this will end up having the impact that, Black Panther did, considering it's an all-Asian cast.
Yeah.
And I do have to give, Disney credit for actually going out of their way to do that. To actually get a mostly Asian cast, considering the story and the source material, and they could have gone the easy way out, and they didn't. So we'll see when that movie comes out. I genuinely want to see how it does, because it looks good.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting trying to get into a theater. I was thinking about going into one to see F9. Then I found out that the matinee prices at the Regal Theater I go to, they've increased them from $6.30 to $8.
Oh, and don't believe that that's not on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Because they knew that, once the restrictions were lifted, that there were going to be a lot of people clamoring to actually go to a theater again. And they were like, yeah, we can definitely bilk them out as much money as we can.
I was like, this is a significant increase.
Yeah.
I have to be more judicious about what I go watch.
Mm-hmm. But right. Yeah.
Congrats. I mean, yeah. I go to the movies as much as I did before, so congrats on that.
I gotta tell you guys, there's just so much about reopening life that just doesn't
appeal.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
You thought in your head it was going to be something better, didn't it? Like, you built it up.
Oh, God, yes.
And the reality hits you, and you're like, why the fuck was I into this again?
Yeah.
And also, since we got this Delta variant, the notion that we might get new mask mandates, how pissy people are going to be then.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, we got to do this again? What stupid shit they do.
Yeah.
What do you expect? It's not like people are doing this on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just how life is. Things mutate.
Yeah. All right.
Tell me one thing that's mutated.
Apparently your fucking brain, boomer. Oh, sorry?
Yeah. It looks like you're taking a pull. Mutation. Or not enough. Since it looks like your family tree is just a single branch going up in a straight line, but
that's like the Amish.
Boy, hey, now,
I see them plenty often, and there's a lot of shorties. Like,
with the exception of Mitt Romney, I'm pretty sure that Republicans treat their pets better than the Amish do. Fuckers.
I want to say, from the people I've talked to, it's like, yeah, they don't wear any masks ever. They never bothered with it. They might put it on just to get in, and then whatever. It's like, no business is gonna be like, no, you can't give us hundreds of dollars of business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna do so. Go fuck with yourself, English. You know?
Yeah.
Buy shitloads of snacks and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Do they seriously buy a lot of snacks?
Oh, yeah.
They run stores and all that, too?
Yeah. That's not just the Amish. That's Mennonites in general. We got a bunch in Central Georgia. And
my great aunt and uncle used to run an Amish style store.
They were
Amish, but it was in that country.
Mm-hmm. But I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. That we do. A long one, too. God damn, it's almost 11 o'clock. I think we went over 3 hours. 3.5 hours. Fun editing this one, Chris.
Not doing anything.
I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked on you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcast, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and pretty much any place where podcasts are aggregated in some shape or fashion. And if we are not there, just wait a few minutes. As soon as we find out about its existence, we will be. And also, if you enjoyed what you listened, please tell friends, family, tell them to spread. You have their friends, tell their friends. And soon you will be rich beyond your wildest fucking dreams. It's not like a pyramid scheme at all. We're totally not like Amway. Praise Xenu.
No.
Anyway, with that, this has been Let's Weekend. I have been your host with the most, Brian Perkins. And for Teresa Sammons and Chris Logie, good night, sleep tight. And as I will continue to say from now until the end of this fucking plague, if you have not gotten vaccinated yet and there are vaccines available, please go get vaccinated.
Yes.
Don't be a weenie.